What up, y'all? It's your boy Rodney Perry, and we are live. That's right, we live. It's Rodney Perry live. We do this show every week. It's Monday. It's 2 o'clock, and it is absolutely showtime. I'm so excited about this show today, and I'm ready to get it in. You know, I like to always get some little mood music, get my mind right, get me started. I just got this Kanye West, Jay-Z joint, Watch the Throne. Man, this album is off the chain. It's Rodney Perry. And this is Rodney Perry live. Cincinnati to the Funny Bone at Newport, Kentucky. Actually, Cincinnati and Newport is across the bridge from each other, so I'll be there October 7th through the 9th. So we're getting it in. This is Rodney Perry. I'm live right now. Anybody got anything for me? If you want to chop it up, 972, you want to say something.
Hey,
you
Rodney,
live.
What's going on,
Rodney Perry, live. What's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy? It's your boy Jay, man, from Dallas, man. What's going on, bro?
Oh, what's up, Jay and Navitari? What's up, baby boy?
Chilling, man. You know, I had to check
in
on you,
bro. Let me say your whole name. Jay Sorocco and Navitari. My childhood friend, we go back a million years. And thanks for calling in, man. How you doing, Jay?
Oh, pretty good, man. Just on my lunch break, bro. About to go back in here to this cosmetic giant Mary Kay and do some work, bro. That's about it, man.
All right. I see you, bro. Well, man, thank you for calling in. Stay on the line if you can at work, man. You can listen in your headset or you can listen on your Bluetooth. And I'm about to start this interview going myself, Ms. Sherry Shepherd. This is Rodney Perry, and the name of the show is Rodney Perry Live. I'm coming to a town near you. My boy Jay, you in Texas. I'm coming to Arlington. That's right. I'm coming to Texas in October at the Arlington Improv. It's going to be so crazy. It's off the chain. I'm coming to see all of y'all live. Be prepared, because ain't nothing like Rodney Perry Live. Shout out to Ms. Dino55. I see you that checked into the chat room. I see you, Compton. I see all the guests. Yes, 2577, 2700, 2736, 2740, 2742. Thank you all for tuning in to the show, man. I really appreciate y'all. This is Rodney Perry, Rodney Perry Live. And, oh, congratulations on the movie. Oh, okay, Compton. We met at the joint at the TAF third screen. And thank you for tuning in, Compton. Voila! All right, without any further ado, we're about to get it in. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my friend, Ms. Sherry Shepherd. We're going live. This is Rodney Perry Live. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Rodney Perry. This is Rodney Perry Live. I got a super incredible show for y'all today. I'm so excited about my guest. This is one of my friends from back in the day. I mean, she's probably your friend from right now. I mean, if you watch The View, if you watch the Newlywed Game, if you got a TV, you know this lady. And not only is she a talented host, co-host, she's also an actor. She's also a mother. She's a friend. And about to be a whiz-ice. You understand? About to get it in that way as well. And one of my favorite people on the earth, on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, let's bring to Rodney Perry Live my friend, Ms. Sherry Shepherd. What's up, Sherry?
Hey, Rodney Perry. Hi, everybody.
How you doing, sweetie?
I'm good. I just got to weave, so I'm blow-drying my tracks right now.
You are blow-drying your – you know what? Let's since you said that, let's start there. Let's start
okay.
At the fact that one of my favorite things about you is in pure comedic tradition, you never let the media scoop you. You give people your life straight out of Sherry Shepherd's mouth. Have you ever been fearful of that?
Well, you know, it's so funny. And you know, being a stand-up comic, we put our life out there on the stage, and I've always done that. I've done that since I was, like, in grade school, and then my father would give me a whooping and go, stop telling all our business when you go to school. So now it's so wonderful because I get paid for it, but it really didn't affect me until I started doing The View because I was used to just,
okay.
You know, I was really used to just kind of saying, this is what happened to me in my life. I went to jail. You know, I went and did stuff, and then it would come back, you know, it'd be on TMZ or be in the Inquirer, and I was like, this is a big show. So,
right.
But I've never stopped doing it because that has been me. You know, I even got a sitcom based on my stand-up comedy, and you know what happened when I went through a really nasty divorce, and the only way
right.
I could get through what I was going through was to get on stage and talk about it, and I got a show from it.
Well, how awesome is that? And not awesome that you went through that, but awesome that you were able to take that and turn it into something positive, you know. And let's talk about your son, who is an awesome
young man. Can I say one thing?
No.
Can I tell everybody one
yes.
thing? How
tell
you? Him. I'll never forget how you used to tease me because my assistant was so cute. Remember that? Because I had an assistant working for me who was so cute.
Oh, that's that girl with the big booty. I said, yo,
yes.
Get that girl away from you. This girl don't need to be around your house, Sherry.
You kept saying, and I was like, Rodney, you so stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. I said, I have got to tell Rodney one day, you were right. You better, hey, ladies, listen. No big booties around your man.
But this is the reality that men, which I am one of, we are very weak individuals sometimes, and the grass seems greener on the other side until you lose something very precious like your family. And
yes.
And I think that, you know, I would like to think if like say for instance your ex-husband was able to do it again, that he would have made some different decisions, if for nothing more than his family. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? Because
I absolutely
you don't get
believe
that back.
That. Yes,
you know,
I absolutely
you don't
believe
get that back.
With those words, everybody in my household who works for me has hairy arms. I'm telling you, we
yes,
all look like, in my household, because I'm getting married, everybody comes through this door, we all look like Planet of the Apes.
You're so silly. You
I'm
don't look
lying.
Like no Planet of the Apes. Now, Sherry Shepherd, Chicago, Illinois,
yes.
A little girl from Chicago is now on The View, is now a nationally touring comedian, is now hosting the Newlywed Game, is now being showcased on Sherry's Getting Married on the Style Network. Did you see?
And let me tell you, I play Auntie Jordan on 30 Rock.
And don't even get me started on 30 Rock. And if we really go into the archives, let's go into Sheila Yarborough from the Jamie Foxx Show. What?
From
what?
The Jamie
what?
Foxx Show. Yeah. That's my show. Jamie! That's the show.
You have always been a scene stealer, and my question to you right now is, did you see it? Did you see it when nobody else did?
I have known since I was a little girl, I like to make people laugh. I've known that. I did not know, I couldn't articulate I would be a stand-up comic or an actress, but I knew that when my family on Sundays, when we have our weekly variety show with the family, I love making folks laugh. And so I guess I always had that was always my calling. I thought I would be on radio. So it's kind of like, you know, I started doing stand-up when I went to the Comedy Store with a bunch of my legal secretary girlfriends, and I saw Eddie Griffin get on stage, and I saw Andrew Dice Clay. And something about I would look at the crowd, and they would move forward as one in laughter and come back. And it was like a wave, and I loved that. And I remember going up to Eddie Griffin and, you know, asking him, I said, do you think I could do that? Now, do you know Eddie Griffin thought I was a groupie? He just, you know, because y'all male comics, y'all so used to women coming up, you know, wanting to get with y'all. That's what Eddie Griffin thought. I just wanted to know, do you think I could do stand-up? And he told me something that I will never forget. Eddie Griffin said, because I said I'm really nervous, he said, do it scared. And from there, I just started doing stand-up. And I just believe when you decide to step out, God makes a move when you make a move. And when you decide to step out on faith, he aligns everything up so that you can go on that journey.
Let's talk about your spiritual walk. I think that those of us that are in the business that happen to love the Lord, you know, I think we have a tougher road to hoe.
Yes.
Do you think that's true? I mean, has your journey been tougher because of your relationship with God?
Yeah, it has. I mean, there's some things that, you know, I think when you get in this business, you have to have your boundaries already in place. Otherwise, you'd be doing that doggone porno film going, how did I get here?
Right.
You know, so you definitely have to know, you know, where you stand and what you will and will not do. I have turned down, you know, roles because I said that's not who I am as a Christian woman. And I remember even when I did the movie Precious, Lee Daniel came up to me. He said he wanted me to do a line where it was a lot of cursing. And I said that was something I said I never wanted to do, was like a lot of gratuitous cursing, because I know my nieces and nephews watch. And I swear I went in my dressing room and I prayed and I was like, Lord, oh my gosh, what do I do here? And I went and I said, I'm going to submit because this is my boss. I went and did it. And do you know Lee Daniel took it out of the film because he was like, you can't even curse right. You couldn't even commit. I was supposed to be smoking and cursing, and he was like, you can't even do it. So it was like, I was like, well, that wasn't me. That was God. He just took away my acting skills for a minute. You know, so, yeah, there are things I think as a Christian person, for me, and I don't hit anybody upside the head with my beliefs, I can't do certain things. So, you know, that's how I feel.
Now, one of the things that I've always been impressed with, and I think this is a separate art from stand-up, is you always kill the couch. Every time I've seen you on any talk show, it's so fitting for you to be on The View, because before you got on The View, you would murder the couch. Is there an art to that? How do you prepare for the couch?
How do I prepare for the couch? Yeah, you know, I think, let me say, I used to hold the record on the Ellen DeGeneres show for the guest that was the most booked, and then it was Betty White followed me, but I think she surpassed me now. And they used to have me back because I was really good on Ellen's couch. I think you got to go, if you're a comic, you have to know, you have to have really interesting stories to tell. Because let me tell you, talk show hosts love it when they don't have to work hard. And I'm on The View. So when we get really interesting guests and they come out there and they know what they want to say, they have funny stuff, I don't have to work as hard. So that's number one. They don't like to work as hard. So if you come on a show and you have very interesting subjects, and as a comic, and if they have punchlines in them, the host is going to let you go. You also have to be present to what they're saying, so it's not all about you. But I think you just got to go out there with you just got to be interesting. The worst thing for a host is to have a guest on there who goes, we ask you a question and you give us a yes or you give us a no. Because that's dead air time, and you probably will never be asked back. So when I do a talk show, you know, the producers will give you a pre-interview and they ask you, tell us what's going on. Then that means tell them what's going on. Find something that's very interesting that you think that audience will like, whether it's, I think the last time I did Craig Kilborn, my cousin is he's an exterminator. He came in and killed some mice. And he said, these are rich mice. They live in Sherman Oaks. So they look pretty. I didn't even want to kill them. It was so interesting. And I took it on Craig Kilborn, did a whole thing on about it. And the audience, they loved it. So I say, when you get on the couch, have something interesting to say. Because people, we're sitting up there on the couch and we're looking at you and we want to hear what's going on in your life. So that's what always has worked for me.
Okay, let me rewind you, and again, I want to thank you for tuning in, for coming on today. This is Rodney Perry Live. I'm talking to Miss Sherry Shepherd, fashion icon. You know, you always look incredible. And tell me about...
You know, can I tell you something, Rodney? My fiancé,
yes.
He is not used to this kind of going on the red carpet and all this stuff, so he went and bought him, you know, he Detroit. Sal went and bought him 4 really nice suits, and he was like, I'm going to wear these suits for the next 3 years. I was like, baby, once they get a picture of you, you ain't going to be able to wear that suit. So he's got this hot velour suit that he bought straight from Detroit. It's this blue velour jacket. They got him in the Enquirer last week with his gold tie and his blue velour suit, pimping. And I says, baby, it's over. The velour suit got to go to Goodwill. You can't do it no more. Steve Harvey done seen it. Enquirer done seen it. You done tried to get away with it. When we did one of these other events down in friggin' at the Boys and Girls Club in Minnesota, it's over.
Isn't that crazy? With social media, between your Facebook and your Twitter, let alone the tabloids, you really can't wear outfit for one time.
No, well, you know what, Rodney? I ain't up there at the Beyonce level. So I will wear, if you really look, I'll wear an outfit 3 times before I retire it. And then I'll go and do stand-up comedy in the city where they don't know me and they ain't seen me before. And I'll rock that outfit out on the stage. Then I'll go to church, and I'm going to wear it as a church outfit. I will wear it to church. I know it's got a lot of cleavage, but I cover it up with the Bible. But I will rock that outfit until I know I have got my money's worth. And then I give it to my sister.
And she like good.
And, she, you know, she bigger than me, so it's tight on her anyway, so she love it.
I love your family. Your sister's always been so cool. How is this journey that you've been on been for them, your family?
You know,
your mom, your dad, your sisters?
They're all really proud of me. They all really supported me. Although in the beginning it was a little rough because, you know, and you know this as a comic and an actor, your family's just like, you know, they've been watching you struggle for so long. They give you that question, when you going to get a real job? Because they want to
know
how come. That's the thing. They keep going with Eddie Murphy big and so-and-so big. How come you can't do it? And it's just like, I kept going, if you just hang in there with me. Hanging there. Well, how many more years you gonna do this before you get that? Before you go to your plan B? And I was like, I can't answer that question. But now they don't even remember that they. There's no plan B, and I'm gonna say they don't even remember that they had the conversation with me. When you gonna get a real job? When I ask them that, they go, "We never asked. We always knew you was gonna make it." Okay.
Yeah. Right.
But they're supportive. They're very proud.
I'm proud. You know, just to watch this journey, and let's rewind a little bit. How did The View even happen? I mean, did you audition? Did they know about you? What's the story?
Wow, that the View is something. It's just like when the opportunity comes, you must be ready to walk into it. Because I was doing a sitcom with Andy Dick and Sarah Rue called Less Than Perfect, and
yes.
All of my co-stars had been guests on the couch at The View. My publicist called and said, you know, can Sherry come on? I didn't even want a co-host. I just wanted to sit on the couch to promote the show. The answer was to my publicist, we don't know who Sherry Shepherd is, and we don't know if she can sit on that couch for 5 minutes and talk. The answer was no. I kept calling. They kept saying, we don't know who she is. And we don't know who she is from the last time you called. No. What happened
we didn't even go look it up. We just don't know.
Thank you. We didn't even keep a file with her. But what happened was Johnny Cochran, unfortunately, he had passed away, and Star Jones had to come to L.A. very quickly for his funeral. That was the day I happened to call again, and they said, I had just gotten off bed rest because I was pregnant. They said, if you can be on a plane this afternoon, you will co-host the show tomorrow because we can't find anybody. And I remember I was so terrified because I said, well, I didn't want a co-host. I just want to sit on the couch to promote
right.
my show. And they said, do you want it or not? And I immediately remember, like I said, Eddie Griffin said to me, do it scared. I said, heck yeah. Got on that plane in a wheelchair because I had just gotten off bed rest. They pretty much wheeled me, you know, to the green room. I co-hosted, and then Joy Behar told them, she said, Sherry is so funny. Whenever I'm gone on a gig, can you use her? So I went back home. Then they called me the very next day and said, could you be on a plane because Joy's doing stand-up, and can you co-host? Star Jones told them she loved me. She said, whenever I'm gone, can you use Sherry? So I think I got booked a number of times as a co-host. I think I hold the record with the View. And then when Rosie came on, she said to me my very first day, I was terrified to work with Rosie because I had heard so many things. She said the very first day I was on there with Rosie when she got into that big fight with Kelly Ripa. And I sat there, and
yes.
I'm a comic, Rodney. They was arguing on the phone, and I was like, okay, how can I make this better with laughter? So I grabbed Rosie's titty. Can I say titty? I grabbed her boo on the air. And she loved that, and she said, I want you to be on the show with me every day. And I said, I can't because y'all work somebody's nerves. I'm going to be bald-headed. And then they kept calling me back to co-host. I ended up being on the show. This is a trip. They told me I was going to co-host Thursday and Friday with Rosie. And then they called me back and they said, well, we're only going to give you one day. We're going to give the other day to somebody else, and we don't know which day we're going to give you. This is how good God is. They gave the other day to Kathy Griffin because we were both in the running for that job as co-hosts. Kathy Griffin got Friday. I got Thursday. Thursday was the day all of that stuff happened with Elizabeth and Rosie. I happened to be there. I'm sitting there going, we got to make this better with laughter. So Joy and I pretended like we were getting up and leaving. The crowd was cracking up. And they offered me that job because they said, we love the fact that you didn't make a career out of telling what happened backstage. Because I also believe when God puts you in a position, don't be running your mouth about everything that goes on. You know, it's
exactly.
an A and B conversation. See your way out of stuff that's not your business. And everybody kept calling, going, we'll fly you out. What happened with Rosie and Elizabeth? And I was like, that's not my business. And that was one of the reasons I got hired. But had I been on there Friday, that stuff would have happened with Kathy. Maybe she might have had the job. So everybody
Man.
Liked the fact that I kept my calm, that I was funny, that I bring, you know, brought a lot of peace to the stage, and that's how I got The View.
Man, that is such a great story, man. You know, you're on this journey, and I tell my son this all the time, and you've met my children. I tell my son,
I
say sometimes when God is blessing you, you are not privy to all the details. Like, I'm sure you probably like me, especially being a preacher's kid. Your dad is a pastor. I know you've been prophesied throughout your whole life that you was going to do great things.
Yep.
But you still kind of always second guess God. Like, God, when is it going to happen? I thought you said, what time? But I think that God, a lot of times, doesn't give you everything. And the analogy I like to use is that he likes to buff you up off the radar. So when he does unveil you to the world, you are this glistening piece of work that he's worked on. And so it's amazing to hear that story, because I think people think they know your story, but they don't.
Well, you know, it's so funny. You're absolutely correct. God does not give you everything, because if God revealed everything he was going to do for you, we wouldn't be able to handle it. We'd be on drugs right now. It'd just be so overwhelming. You know, if he said to you all of the things that he has in mind for you, I mean, I think right now if he said, Rodney, you're going to get the Oscar, you might lose your mind, you know. And I think he shows us a little bit of a snapshot of so that we could have our faith. You know, somebody told me one time, if it was all about stability, you wouldn't need to have faith. And I know doing The View, even getting The View, like my third day there, I said I didn't know if the earth was round or flat, and I have a whole bit I do on stage about it, but it was really due to nervousness. Because I was not used – the three things that I hate, I don't like confrontation, I don't like to, you know, get it debating, and I don't like to interrupt people when they're talking. That's what I have to do every single day.
That's part of your job description, interrupt people.
That is part of my job description, to interrupt, to confront, and to debate. That's what I get paid for. And they had said, you know, we want to have a discussion about evolution versus creation with Sherry. I'm sitting there in the chair in Hot Topics downstairs before we got on the air going, I don't debate. I know what I believe, but I don't debate it. And it was sheer nervousness, and I literally blanked out. And when I came to, they told me, you said you didn't know if the earth was round or flat. I was the second most Googled person in the country. People said I should lose my job. Bill Maher said they should fire me. It was very hurtful. But the ladies rallied around me and said, we got your back. Joy Behar said, Sherry, as soon as you open your mouth, you're going to lose half the audience. But just make a stand. And from that, I learned, you know what, I need faith. Even though God has put me in this position, I can't do this on my own. I still need faith, you know. And so it has been a growing process over the, you know, 4 years that I've been there with Ms. Goldberg and the other ladies. But, you know, he can't reveal to you everything he's going to do, because you wouldn't need to have faith. And it's always with God. It's always about walking in faith.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that for a second in terms of for me, this is my first time encountering the media. You know, they came out, they said the Monique Show was going on indefinite hiatus. Whoever knows what that means, please give me a call. But that's beside the point. I start getting crazy calls. Like, anybody that I've ever known that's been on a radio show or a TV show, call me. And, you know, that was my first encounter with dealing with that phenomenon. You've had to deal with that as a person that's attached to such a successful show. How crazy is it to really deal with the media on that level?
It can get really crazy, and you have to always remember, you know, everybody thinks they know what is going on behind the scenes, and they don't. And you always have to remember to keep, you know, be discreet. And, you know, you have to, it's you're towing a line with the media. You don't want to let them know everything. It gets crazy. I know, you know, when Whoopi and Joy walked off the set when Bill O'Reilly came on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing some interviews for Steve Harvey for his charity that he does at Disney World. I'm sitting in the chair
right.
just thinking, we're going to have a good time talking about, you know, charity, Steve Harvey's charity benefiting the youth. And I got a tag. Well, what did you do? They walked out with Bill O'Reilly. And it threw me, Rodney, because I was like, that's not
right.
what I'm here for. I didn't walk off the set, but they wouldn't let it go. And so now I'm used to no matter what I do with the media, they always want to know about something that's going on with The View. So it's just,
right.
you know, I pray a lot before I do it. And you smile and you be gracious. And I think you got to know discreetness is the word, I think.
Right.
You can write the book later. But, you know, always being discreet. And also knowing that the media, you know, you can't take it to heart because they're going to print what they want to print. And this is the first
like
person I thought would be, like it or not, you can come out and say, this is the truth. This is what really happened. And if they don't think it's going to sell, they will print something else. And so you have to know, I got my close friends and my family. They know me. They know my heart. And you got to keep on moving.
You work a lot with foundations. YAI, National Institute for People with Disabilities. You work
yes.
with the March of Dimes. You work with Embrace. You
yes.
work with Hales Franciscan.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Sherry Shepherd give back that way?
Because there's a scripture in the Bible that says, to whom much is given, much is required. And, you know, the first two, YAI and March of Dimes, I work with. I'm very passionate about premature babies and stopping premature birth because my son was born at 5.5 months and he weighed 1 pound 10 ounces. And he almost died, but we had a miracle at the very last minute. And I did not know that premature births are the highest in African American and Latino communities, which means we have a problem with our young girls. They're not being educated on how to take care of these babies and how to bring them to carry them to term. They don't have the money. They don't have the health care. I was blessed to have health care, but until I happened with Jeffrey, I didn't know that. So I'm very passionate about these two organizations, and you know, if you do have a child that has developmental delays or disabilities or autism, which my son went through, there are services out here that can help you. You know, Rodney, as I can only speak for being black because I'm black. You know, it was those times you seen somebody in your neighborhood, you was like, something wasn't quite right with them, but all their mama did was hit them upside the head and told them to sit
right,
still.
They were just bad. Yeah, they were just bad.
It was just bad. You know, why are you running all over the place? And it was like there's a lot of kids in our community who have developmental delays, and there are a lot of services that help the other cultures, and we don't even know about it. And I really just – I like to work with these organizations to let people know there are services that will help your child. If you think that there's something wrong with your child, they're not hearing, they're not responding, you know, they're not like the other kids. There are services that will help you, we pay taxes for these services, so they're free. And so that's what they helped my son. He went from saying only two words to you know, I come to the door and he goes, Mommy, you're gorgeous. I'm a good rapper, Mommy, you know.
I love it.
He asked Lady Gaga the other day. He met her. He was like, will you go to school with me? I mean, he is just like, so it's like a miracle what this organization YAI has done for him. And free is what I'm saying. And so I work with Embrace. They help homeless people out. This Hales Franciscan, those two organizations, instead of getting gifts for our wedding, we wanted people to donate to them because Hales House, Hales Franciscan Academy in Chicago, they help 100% of their young black men go to college. So anything where it's like a young black man can go get some higher education and maybe follow in the steps of President Obama, I want to help.
Now, is it true? I know the rumor mill got this one.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to see Sherry Shepherd dancing on the stars? but before you even answer, don't answer that. I know you will kill it.
You know, the thing I would love to do Dancing with the Stars. And, you know, right now, you still little talks about it, you know, I hope I can get a mean samba. You know, the thing about it is I know I got rhythm. I can dance. I don't know. I think my boobs may be too big to be doing the foxtrot, Rodney. I'm watching the show, and this is And Rodney, I got to say, because you and me, we go back a long way. You have known me a long time. You have seen my boobs go up and down. Can you visualize me doing a foxtrot?
You don't need to do nothing with bouncing.
Yeah, so that's what I got to work on, my bouncing skills, because I ain't found a good bra yet that's going to hold these puppies down when I do that doggone, where they got to lift me in the air.
First of all, them ain't no puppies. Them full-grown dogs.
I got to rock, rock.
Now, let me ask you this. We talked about fashion a little bit earlier, but how hard is it? I mean, first of all, you're the black woman on The View, so
right.
you're the non-conventional beauty in terms
mm-hmm.
of what we see in the media.
Right.
Do you actively take responsibility for the little girls? Just imagine how many little girls you're influencing. You know, I'm a father of five girls. So
mm-hmm.
just imagine, have you ever wrapped your mind around how many little girls are going to have another option because Sherry Shepherd is on TV every day?
Well, you know, I know just looking at our first lady, who is a true blue black woman, how inspiring that is for me. And I know when I was a little girl, we didn't have the Brady Bunch was my show. I wanted to be Cindy Brady. I walked around with a towel on my head because I thought it was long hair. Every baby doll that my family gave to me was a little white baby doll. So I didn't have very many, people that I saw on TV. So when little girls come up to me and they hug me and, you know, they're so shy, I love the fact that I could be a role model to them, and the fact that I look black, you know, I got my nose, I ain't got no booty stuck on my back, I ain't got, you know, everything pretty much is real. I fixed the gap in my tooth, but other than that, everything pretty much is real. And so, yeah, I love the fact that I can be, and you know, it even, I know because people get on me because I wear the wigs and the weaves, and sometimes I do see a lot of the little girls out here, you know, young, wearing these weaves and wigs, and I'm just like, oh, y'all, that bothers me a little bit. I'm not ready to go all natural and get my locks on and my dreads on. You know, right now, I try to explain to the girls the reason why I wear weaves and the reason why I wear wigs is because there's a lot of actresses out here, when we do day-to-day stuff and all the heat products that they put in our hair, we would all be black Sinead O'Connors. We would be bald-headed if we didn't have hair that they could mess around with. You know, so that, you know, I hope that these little girls are seeing more and more people on that screen and that TV, the TV that look like them. Well, you know good and well, that's a black woman.
Yeah, that's a sister right there. She one of us.
That's a sister.
Now, has being busty helped you or hurt you, or not at all? Has it affected you at all?
That's so funny because my entire stand up for years, I would have to, when I got on stage, I would have to get that out of the way and talk about how large my boobs were. So, because otherwise I would get heckled so badly. I remember being on stage and, you know, dudes would be like, damn, you know, your boobs are big.
And you're doing a church show.
And I'm doing a church show. I'm like, you know, Pastor, good grief. Can I tell you, Rodney, I did a church show with our mutual friend, Bone Hampton. And
Bone Hampton, one of the best comedians out there, bar none. Go ahead.
That is my best male friend, Bone. And we did a church in Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm on stage, and I'm killing them. And then I could hear laughter. And I was like, okay, well, why are they laughing? Then they started heckling me. They started saying, put on another shirt. And I said, wait a minute, I know the saints ain't heckling me. Do you know what happened? Bone came out on the stage, because I was the headliner. Bone came out on the stage with his blazer. Now, you know, Bone is 6 feet. I'm 5'1", so he got this huge blazer. He said, Sherry, put my jacket on. I said, I don't want to put a jacket on. I got a cute shirt on. He said, put the jacket on. So put the jacket on. I walked off stage, Rodney, and that's when Bone told me, and he was very embarrassed. He said, Sherry, the air conditioners are on full blast. Your things are hard, and the churches, the saints are telling you to put another shirt on. I had to go back on stage and finish my 45 minutes with Bone's big old blazer covering my shirt.
hilarious.
So the pastor told me, don't never wear that shirt on stage again in the house of God.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
But, you know, a lot of people, you know what, God gave them to me, Rodney. I love them. My ex-husband loved them. My fiance loves them. My friends love them. And people always go, you need to get a breast reduction. No. They're here for a reason, and until I go into the grave, they're going to be with me. So have they been a help? I think so. I think, you know, because I love them so much, I carry myself a certain way. It has never been a hindrance.
Right. Okay, I'm not going to hold you much longer. We covered a lot, and it's been so – I've learned about you that stuff that I didn't know. Let's talk about
that. Oh, get out of here. We didn't know each other. See, I remember when we first met, you came around the corner at the Laugh Factory. Me and Bone standing there. Do you remember? You had a black trench coat on, and you came around the corner, and all I remember was this guy has this big, huge, megawatt smile. And I have to say, you have never, ever lost your smile. And that's what I love about you, Rodney, because you've always been so positive throughout your career, and people love to be around you. You're like a magnet because you carry such a spirit of joy inside, and I love you so much. You are my friend. You remember coming to the house? We used to have pool parties.
Wait a minute. Let me tell y'all this. Sharon Shepherd throws the best parties in the world. But it ain't like no, it's like Hollywood kind of, because there are like Hollywood people there, but it's
right.
A regular people party. Like, you know, you were the first person I saw to have a jumper in the front yard for the kids and you know, and a lifeguard around the pool and, you know, somebody on the grill barbecuing in the corner and dominoes in the other corner and spades over here and you know, and you're in the backyard and you're sitting next to somebody you've seen on TV your whole life, and they cool, and it was just, you know, it was just refreshing to see that how dope Black Hollywood could be. And you know, I think your parties was one of the first Hollywood parties I went to, you know. So, yeah, Sherry Shepherd throws an incredible party.
Well, I just love you. I just have to say I'm so proud of you, and it's nice to be able to sit and talk and go, boy, remember when?
Remember when? I can remember, and this will take you back. I can remember Sherry Shepherd on the stage at Fifth Street Dick's, which is in Leimert Park. If you ever been to L.A., it's a small room. The room set above another room. And
it was upstairs.
It was upstairs. You probably couldn't. All the comics couldn't go up there during the show because it was so small. And
it was so small. We did it with Green Eyes. Remember Green Eyes?
Wait a minute. Green Eyes called me yesterday.
You kidding me?
Green Eyes was a comedian. He had the most outlandish act you ever seen. And
yeah,
Green Eyes, throw your hands together. Green Eyes now has his own tailoring shop in Los Angeles. You know, he had a little bout with the law for a little while, and he's now a free man, and he had his own. He's making suits. Maybe he could make some for Sal.
I'm going to have to call Green Eyes. I remember when we had a pool parties, and Kat would bring Micah, his son.
Yep.
We'd be playing taboo. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so
Kat Williams, who is now, like, a lot of our peer group, the people that was around during that time, are really doing great right now. And it's really a testament to what that time was, because you were the first one to get any success. That you were the first person I saw that I was like, Sherry doing it.
Remember we used to go to the Christian restaurant off Manchester, and we could eat, it was all you could eat buffet, as long as we did clean comedy.
Stepping up. You would go there to eat. Stepping Up had a buffet, and we would go there. Vince D, you know, would let us come in. And that was the first time that, you know, Cat Williams, myself, that we had to be completely clean, and not just clean, but Christian comedy clean.
Christian comedy clean.
I think that allowed us to grow, like, exponentially going to that place. And Sherry Shepherd was one of the great comedians that would come through there. So, yeah, absolutely, I remember that.
The casino in was it Compton or Inglewood?
Hollywood Park Casino. Yep. I used to do a room over there. Cat had a room over there. Sherry would come bless the stage. Bone would come back to stage, and we all kind of grew comedically. And I remember when you booked Jamie Foxx. When you booked Jamie Foxx, and I was like, wow, man, Sherry is really doing it. But you always to me had a great mix of what we look at as the mainstream and being connected to, you know, the black folks at the same time. So, you know, was that deliberate for you?
You know, it's so funny. I've always just felt like, you know, your comedy has to, you know, go past just who's in front of you. I've always felt that way. And it's just served me very well. It's so funny you bring back Jamie Foxx. You want to know how I booked a recurring role on Jamie Foxx playing Sheila?
Mm-hmm.
Jamie booked me for one episode. I auditioned, and I got the role. That was only supposed to be one time because it was Fancy Sister Circle, I think. Supposed to be a one-time gig. I had one line, and I happened to be sitting near Jamie, and I said, I'm having so much fun on this show. Jamie is so fun, and we go way back, Jamie and I and you, and I'm having so much fun. I want to come back. So every time I did my line, but every time Jamie talked, I would get on top of him and hug him and put my hand on his leg, and it would make him laugh. So he would take my hand off his leg, and I would get up close to him again, like, I want you, Jamie. And he kept going, what are you doing? And that just, he liked it so much that he kept bringing me back. And I always would try to do stuff within the scene to make Jamie laugh. And so he kept bringing me back. I think I wanted to be in his music video. And I just kept making funny faces and doing funny dances. And every time Jamie laughed, I knew I was going to be in another episode of the Jamie Foxx Show.
See, beautiful. I love it. You are the absolute best. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now, this is Rodney Perry Live. We're talking to Sherry Shepherd. Sherry, you're about to get married. Now, you've done this before. I know people are talking. I know people are going, are you sure? But I've had the pleasure of meeting this giant man that is your fiancé. And when I say being in your presence, and seeing somebody that you have the love I believe you deserve is completely impressive to me. So, you know, I wish y'all all the best, and I'm excited to see what's next in your next chapter. You know, so are you ready?
I am ready. We're getting married this Saturday, so we're getting married, I think, in 4 days in Chicago.
Get out of here.
In Chicago, so I'm ready.
Is your dad
going to
perform the ceremony?
No, my father's not going to perform. He's going to sit down and enjoy the show. I just want everybody. And my bridesmaids are Niecy Nash, Yvette Nicole Brown, and Kim Whitley, old Crazy Kim. Those three are my bridesmaids, and Elizabeth Hasselbeck. And we just going to have a really good time. We got a bridal dance that we worked on. So we're going to have a good time, and I'm looking forward to married life.
You know what? Me and my wife will be in Chicago. We might crash the wedding.
If you're there, please come by.
We might crash the wedding. You know what? We leave tonight because we're going to visit my grandmother in Chicago. My kids have never really spent no time around my grandma. So we're going up to Chicago and spend some time with the family, and we will be in town. So we may come back and bring a gift.
Wait, will you be in town on the 13th?
Yeah.
Well, you know what, then I'm going to shoot you the information. Please, I want you there.
Done deal. Consider it done. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show for the day. Sherry, any parting words, anything for my audience, man? Give me something. Give me some words to live by.
Wow. Again, I say run towards the very thing that you fear, because if you do, blessings are on the other side.
Hey, I can't say it no better than that. This is Rodney Perry Live. You have been completely blessed today. Sherry Shepherd, this is my friend. This is your friend. Go to our website. That's www.sherryshepherd.com. That's SHERRISHEPHERD.com. Incredible website, incredible lady, incredible human being. thank you so much, Sherry. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this conversation. I love you, and congratulations, because
thank
God
you,
ain't finished with you yet either.
You
I
either.
Mean.
I love
you,
too. Okay, bye-bye.
I love you good.